Welcome in to Bears Weekly, a Chicago Bears Network production. Download the Chicago Bears official app, brought to you by Verizon, to follow the team on the go. Bears Weekly is brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, Bet Rivers, CDW, Connie's Pizza, and Miller Lite. Here are your hosts, Jeff Joniak, a.k.a. the Mayor of Bearsville, and his sidekick, Tom the Surfmaster Thayer.
NFL facilities have cleared out for a month or so, including Halas Hall, the calm before the storm, so to speak, and we can't wait for the storm. Welcome into another edition of Bears Weekly here on ESPN Chicago and the Chicago Bears Radio Network. I'm Jeff Joniak with Super Bowl Bear Tom Thayer and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio, moving the chains. A full hour of conversation, thanks to our producers Jordan Tredup and Dan Barilli from the Bears and the folks here at the ESPN 1000 studios. The executive producer of the Bears Radio Network is Eric Ostrowski. And coming up in our next segment tonight, we sit down with new starting right guard Nate Davis. Fellas, how we feeling? Jim, what's going on, my man?
Doing well. Just last couple days, I was up at Michigan State baseball camp with the boys. So baseball season for the summer, and we get right into football. So hard to believe, you know, here we're a little over a month away, and everything's going to get rolling again.
Tom, he's on his summer break like the rest of the league. I know you love hearing that. I know
you
love it.
Well, you know what, Jeff? When you talk about the facilities being closed and stuff, I am for that in terms of the coaches and the training staffs and the equipment guys, because once they start training camp, it's 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. So if somebody does need a little bit of a rest time, because we have a chance to talk to some coaches and stuff, and what are you going to do during this period of time? And is there only vacation of the year? Again, like my rant last week, and I heard a lot about it, I hope that the players don't believe that they deserve a vacation, because it's really not vacation time. It's continued a prep time. So, yeah, if the coaches get to clear their mind a little bit, so be it. Enjoy some time with your families, because the families are the ones that suffer the most to head coaches, assistant coaches, the staffs of each organization. So I am for the break for those guys.
Reporting day is Tuesday, July 25th. Of course, rookies and quarterbacks start a little earlier than that. Training camp schedule now in place, July 26th through August 14th. Tom, only 9 public practices this year. Of course, a week in Indianapolis to get ready for the Colts, and that practice schedule there will take some of that away. But if you want to go, You gotta get a ticket and get over there. There's only 9 of them.
You know what, Jeff? I'm almost thinking, is the audience at training camp practices a thing of the past unless you're invited? Because a lot of these teams staying at their own facilities, they really don't have what is needed to provide for huge crowds that we used to be a part of, either in Platteville or down in Bourbonnais and stuff. So, you know, 9 practices, opportunity for them to come and see the Bears in a preseason work atmosphere, but not so sure how long that will even last.
And, Jim, only a few of those will be in pads, frankly. And this is not to say the Bears will be practicing longer than that, obviously. Training camp does have a finite number on it, but they continue to work. You think about it, the camp ends August 14th, but the season doesn't open until the second week of September.
Yeah, you guys know how I feel about it, and I don't want to go on a rant like Tom just said, but, you know, it's a shame, because to me, training camp, that was the only major sporting event that was open to the public, you know, where, you know, you'd be down in Bourbonnais and you'd get 28,000 fans that would show up to watch the Bears, and they could get, it's a very intimate atmosphere where you can get up close and personal and witness, you know, professional football. No other sport offered that. And it's a shame that it's kind of going away, as Tom suggested, because there's only a finite amount of days. You mentioned 9 days that fans, maybe it just doesn't work out for them. You know, how many people can get in there at Halas Hall to begin with? Can they really service 28,000 fans that showed up in Bourbonnais? I would say no. And that's unfortunate. And there's a lot of kids that will be missing out on that maybe, you know, it spurs them to want to play football. You know, some little boy who's 9 years old and goes to watch a training camp practice, because I know that's what inspired me as a kid to want to play football. And to me, it's a shame, because it was a very, to me, crucial and pivotal area where a team can connect with its fans.
Well, you can get your free ticket at chicagobears.com/camp starting July 6th at 10 a.m. You can select up to 4 tickets per date, subject to availability. And like Jim said, there is a limited attendance overall. There is the Meyer Bears Family Fest at Soldier Field. That'll be on Sunday, August 6th at 10:35 a.m. That'll be a big crowd opportunity there at Soldier Field. All right, so all the OTAs, mini camps, vet camps, all the signings for right now anyway, in place. Jim, take stock of the team. Where are they at right now?
I think they're in a good place. You know, I think Coach Eberflus and his staff, they've been working hard. Sounds like players now, second-year players, they're, you know, things just happen a lot quicker for them. You know, the install goes a lot easier. The new young draft picks, they're going through their indoctrination, so to speak, and I think they're going to get a lot of playing time as well. I think we know Darnell Wright most likely will be starting at the right tackle spot, so he's got to be prepared for that. He'll make his share of mistakes, no doubt, but it'll be a growth spurt, much like the players last year. As for the veterans, they should be feeling pretty good. You know, they should be feeling very good of what's expected of them and what they need to do to execute and what to win games, right? And so they need to be the crucial motivators of the continued growth for those young players. I still think, and we know, that they're missing some areas. I do believe they do need to add another pass rusher, and even Coach Eberflus has talked about that. So maybe a late addition or two is still going to happen come training camp.
Tom, where do you see it?
Can I just hope that they give some of the, like, when you talk about a guy like Darnell Wright or the running back position or the defensive line where some of these young guys are going to be expected to contribute, they have to understand the reality of full-speed football. And I don't know if they can show that in practice, or do they need to have more playing time in the preseason games. So the worst thing I want to happen to the Bears is to have a bunch of young guys, first and second year players, starting in that Green Bay game and being caught off guard, because there is a difference between the speed of the regular season and what you see throughout training camp in preseason. When you have a quick whistle at camp and then you have, you know, a limited amount of playing time and exposure to real football in training camp. So, and, you know, as Matt Eberflus said last year, he's not afraid of playing young guys. But the young guys need to come in with some experience, so not they're not caught off guard by the speed, the physicality, and their job requirements when you talk about playing 4 quarters.
All right, first game of the year, Packers. We've already talked about it behind the scenes, Tom and I, Jim. You know, it's the great unknown week one, but I got annoyed. I saw a Twitter clip on NFL Network. Preston Smith, the outside linebacker of the Packers, is on there, and they had predicted their first 8 games, and they said, hey, how'd you feel about going 6-2 to start the season? But they had opening loss to the Bears and Atlanta the next week. He goes, hold on, I've never lost to the Bears. I've never lost to the Bears as a Washington Commander. I've never lost to the Bears. So, you know, that idea that they've never lost to the Bears at a certain point, many of those guys haven't. It just gets your blood up, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, and it should. And for the Bears, it's time to change the tenor. You know, it's time to change the tone of this matchup. Green Bay has dominated it for over the last decade, I would say. You know, Aaron Rodgers is gone. It's time to change history here. You know, there's an opportunity with the young Jordan Love, and they, quite frankly, they weren't a very good football team last year. Green Bay knows that. They weren't good. They couldn't stop the run, and I don't think they'll be able to stop the Bears' run game week one. And the Bears need to give them a reality dose of things are about to change.
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, the Bears got to change the tone and the tempo and the outcome and the way that people are thinking down the road. Because, you know, Jim, when you think about this first game of the year and the last game of the year, they're going to play the Green Bay Packers. That's two completely different teams by that much time in between game 1 and game 17.
Jim, we got to take our first break. When we come back, we'll be joined by Nate Davis, the offensive guard, the newest Bear, here on Bears Weekly on ESPN 1000 and the Chicago Bears Radio Network. This segment of Bears Weekly is brought to you by CDW. People to get it. Jeff Joniak, along with Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. They'll be along in just a moment. First, our visit with new starting guard, the free agent acquisition from the Tennessee Titans, Big Nate Davis, joining us. Good to talk to you. Good to see you. How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me, too.
Yeah, good to have you. The big news is that everybody's here. The attendance has been unbelievable, this team. And we were talking about how much guys love them playing with each other. And as you get to know your team even a little bit better, maybe you already know that they really do love getting out there together.
Yeah, 100%. Just being able to be a part of the energy that's out there every single day is definitely a blessing. It definitely keeps you going every single day, too, even in the hard days. But now it's a good group, a young group. Everyone's excited to see, you know, what we can really put together and see what we can do for the season.
That's the underline, right? A young group. And you're one of the vets on this team, man. It's there's not many guys in that 5 to 10 range of experience. And this is your fifth year in the league. So you're one of the leaders here. Do you sense that difference of a young team that really had to cut their teeth last year and learn some of the hard bumps along the way?
Yeah, no, I definitely feel it. You know, coming from my old line who, you know, I was a young guy. Playing with the guys who were 30s and stuff like that, and then, you know, switching over to the other side. I definitely feel it, but it's also a cool experience, too, at the same time. Just seeing the growth that the players have already had, seeing what they can accomplish, too, in this league is definitely exciting to be a part of.
Jim Miller, who also works at SiriusXM NFL Radio, was a quarterback here in 2001, and he always would tell me, hey, you know, we knew we were going to be a good team just in the weightlifting portion. And things were different back then, of course, in terms of the schedule, but these guys loved the weight room, and they were competing in the weight room. And so he wrote down on a piece of paper what he thought the record would be for the season. They shoved it in a drawer in the video director's office, and he wrote 13-3. Doggone it, the Bears went 13-3 in 2001, went to the playoffs. And then the 06 team was coming off an 05 season. They went to the playoffs, got beat by Carolina in the first round of the playoffs, but they came back a different bunch. No one really believed they were going to go to the – they went to the Super Bowl. I mean, I'm not saying all that could happen. I mean, it could, but do you get the sense from your experience, from the time you got in the league, coming out of the University of Charlotte to where you are today, that a lot of that bonding that happens throughout the course of the offseason pays off later?
Yeah, just the things we do off the field too, not just on the field. Just feeling, like I said, back to the energy thing. Mm-hmm. We're all just, you know, pointing the right direction, wanting to get better, wanting to compete with each other and push each other to be the best player we possibly could be. We are definitely in the right direction. We are definitely working towards the goals that we have.
And you know when everybody's not pulling on the same rope, right?
Right.
100%. I mean, it's pretty palpable. You feel it as a player.
Yeah.
What do you think you can bring? Forget about your on-field talent. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about Nate Davis, the man. Mm-hmm. What do you bring to that locker room that will help the Bears get to that next level?
Yeah, I would say, you know, not just off the field things with, you know, how I treat my body to, you know, meal prep and stuff like that, the little things, but just my mentality, the way I show up to work every single day, the way I do every single drill, the way, just my mentality of trying to get better every single day. Hopefully, I'm not a huge loud guy, but I try to lead by example, and that's something I definitely take pride in.
Hey, the little thing is no longer nutrition. It's a big thing, right? So if you're eating right, you're putting in your body, maybe guys will ask you, hey, what are you doing, Nate? I mean, does that happen in the locker room?
Yeah, it's already happened. A couple guys have already asked, you know, why do you do this to that or why that? And then, you know, explain those things. I mean, I have joined that too. So being able to pass that knowledge down to them and then see them actually take part in that too is, you know, that's a good feeling.
So are you a big, I mean, clearly you're muscled up. The biceps are popping right now at me right now. I feel like I need to go do some push-ups. Do you fuel your body in a very particular way, or do you take advice from the nutrition staff here? Or what? Give me a typical meal day for Nate Davis.
It was a culmination of many years of trial and error of feeling, you know, what's right for my body. But just, you know, listening from, you know, the nutrition staff here to just the people in my path to this point now. You know, just waking up in the morning, everything's particular from breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, it's hard to
a lot of protein.
Yeah, it's hard to give you exact.
Yeah, sure.
You know what I do, but just know that's very particular.
Well, think about this: Lake Forest College is not far down the road from here, and that's where the Bears used to train. There was no cafeteria, so Otis Wilson, the star linebacker on the '85 Bears, was here. I was talking to him on the sidelines, and he's just shaking his head. He goes, "Man, this place is immaculate. This is like beautiful." He goes, "If we had something like this, then." Now, granted, exaggeration kicks in. He felt he could play for 20 years because they had to go out and get fast food. Right. That's what they ate. Nobody's packing a brown bag lunch, and there was no services like that back in the day. Do you feel that's – well, you entered into the league during that era. You know, it hasn't been that way for very long. How much of a benefit is that, though, for you, that you don't have to leave the facility or worry about how you're going to plan your meals when you don't have it here?
Yeah, even with the training staff, you know, everyone is – in the right direction together, whatever they have to do to help you get to the best, you know, player you could possibly be. I think it's huge. Everywhere you go, if you just walk around the building, you just see different types of, you know, recovery tools or like you said, meal plans or meal prep for players. Like, you know, it's immaculate. It's definitely a blessing.
All right, let's talk about Nate Davis, the player. Great career there in Tennessee. Got in on the rookie. I think you started in week five your rookie year, and, yeah. and that's the year one of the years Derrick Henry led the NFL in rushing. So that's something you're never going to forget. And you have a new address now, but boy, what a memory to play with a Hall of Fame player your rookie season. Take me through that process of coming in week five, starting, and then never giving it back up, you know, and just blocking for a player like that on a team like that.
Yeah, no, it was definitely something I'll never forget, something special. Definitely a lot of ups and downs, but everything that has put me in the direction or the path I'm in now is because of those moments right there. So extremely grateful to be with those guys, to be, you know, drafted by that organization. From giving me the tools to carry that now and, you know, help out the team.
He was, without question, the lead back. Here, it's going to be backed by a committee, it appears. Any difference for an offensive lineman when that happens, when you know you get to know one guy that's going to get the bulk of the carries versus an array of backs?
I mean, not too much of a difference. The mentality is still the same. You know, do your job, block for the guy behind you, and whoever's back there, we want to see him succeed, we want to help him out. The best way possible.
What have you learned about Chris Morgan, the offensive line coach? Everybody who call, they call him Simo, of course, but what have you learned about his coaching style?
Very personable, which I love. He gets to know the player first before, or he gets to know the man first before the player. And just the way he's able to speak to individuals, knowing how, okay, he needs to be coached this way, or this guy needs to be coached that way. He has a lot of, he's been in the league for a while too, so he's seen a lot of things. So his perspective is very key for anything we do. Like I said a little bit earlier, but it's definitely the right thing for me to be with this coach. He is he's awesome.
He presses the right buttons for
yeah.
Nate, huh?
Yeah.
I love to get to know the man first, and I believe the whole coaching staff, that's kind of their thing. I've heard this from multiple position groups, know the man first, because you do have to know what you're dealing with. I know maybe in the old days everybody got yelled at the same way, but there are different ways to do it. With that aspect of it, what is that connection like for you for somebody to take the time to get to know the man? Because, hey, listen, you're a veteran, man. It's not like a guy just coming into the league raw. You know what you're doing, but they got to get to know you a little bit here.
Right. It makes you take a step back a little bit. It's kind of like, you know, wow, they actually, you know,
care about you.
Yeah, he cares about me more than just the guy in the field with number 64. It makes you just want to do better. It makes you want to do more. It makes you want to, you know, be the best person you possibly be for the team, knowing that they care about you, not only as a player, but just off the field too.
We get obsessed with, okay, a guy gets drafted and you were a third round pick. Year one, get your feet wet. Hey, you get in there, you started the bulk of your year. Then year two, you know, you make that big. And then year three is your takeoff year. Now year five, you're an established veteran. What do you see for yourself here in the next part? This is truly like the next phase of your career. If you're a really good offensive lineman, which you are, you're going to play in the league 10 to 12 years.
Yeah. You know, I have my own goals. And every single year I create new ones. And I know I have a lot of work to do still. And I'm excited for that process. I have the right people around me. Like I said, this coaching staff is amazing too to continue to push me. But yeah, I'm expecting for myself to be even better, to make another step or jump, as you will. So yeah, I'm excited.
Are you a guy that writes down your goals, keeps them private, or how do you attack that? And are you willing to share?
So I write them down, I keep it private. I'm just one of those guys who I'm not a huge like I said, I'm not a loud guy.
Either. Yeah, yeah.
So I know what I need to do, and I'm gonna continue to work for that every single day.
So when you say you're a loud guy, but you know you're a very personable guy, but are situations like we're having just a conversation right now talking about. Offensive linemen don't like talking about themselves. often. Are you seem comfortable, are you? Yeah. Or is it not your thing?
I'm comfortable.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm a guy who just leads by example. I'm not guy who's just going to start yelling and stuff like that. It's just, that's just me at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. So take me through what looks to be right now a young offensive line with some key veterans in it. Take me across the board what you've already learned. Let's start with the left tackle, Braxton Jones, and Tevin Jenkins on the left guard.
First thing that comes to mind is hard workers. Their mentality, like just – I was talking to one of my friends back at home. I was like, man, this guy is like he could be special.
Right.
Especially like the left side in general, they could be special. They're young. They're hungry. They're asking all the right questions. Yeah, just they could be great. Simple as that. Simple as that.
Braxton, I talked about this last week with Coach Mo and some other folks. He is so open
about what he needs to work on, you know, and he, you could see it in his face. He's a genuine article.
Yeah,
okay. Center Cody White here.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever you ask him to do,
he'll do it.
I'll do it, right?
Yeah, no complaints at all. I almost want to call him the workhorse. He every single day is the same guy. He's going to work hard, do the right things, communicate when he needs to communicate. Someone you could definitely lean on. Definitely decided that, you know, he's my center.
Yep, and good to have you know, two vets sitting right there next to, and then you get the rookie, Darnell Wright. First thing I see, wow, got some long, but so do you. See, people forget you have 33 and a quarter inch arms as well. Big long arms, but he's a big guy now.
Yeah, that's the first thing.
Spacey.
Big guy, smart. He has everything you need to be a great right tackle in this league for a very long time. I'm excited to grow with him. I'm excited to see the progress he makes in this league.
And we don't have time to get through the entire group, but it'll be some good competition come training camp, don't you? There's competition going, obviously, for the swing positions and the backup interior jobs. And it's going to be a competitive camp. I have a really strong feeling about that. Those young guys that got to play last year now, you know, they wet their beak a little bit, right? They don't want anybody taking their snaps. Do you get that feeling as we wrap up our interview here?
Yeah, 100%. Competition is the biggest thing. We continue to push each other. We're all, you know, it's not like a bad type of competition. It's a, okay, let's see what we can do to continue to push each other to see how great we could truly be at our position. And that's what you need in this game, especially the NFL, the highest level of football, that competition.
Well, I appreciate you being here. Hope you join us again sometime during the season. And great to have you being a Chicago Bear. Going to have a great time here.
Yeah, I appreciate you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Nate Davis, our guest. We'll continue on Bears Weekly here on ESPN 1000 Chicago and the Bears Radio Network after this timeout. Welcome back to Bears Weekly. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, and former Bears quarterback Jim Miller from SiriusXM NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. Hey, you want VIP access to every Bears home game? Exclusive seating, sideline credentials, and more now available. Get the ultimate VIP fan package this season by visiting ChicagoBearsVIP.com. Jim, we heard Nate Davis. That was my one-on-one with him after the end of veteran minicamp. Bright guy, excited guy. Really, I love how he broke down the offensive line and the idea that he believes Braxton Jones and Tevin Jenkins have special in them. He's seen that already in the limited time working with him.
Yeah, I think, you know, Tevin really showed a lot last year when he was plugged in at right guard. Now he's making that move over to left guard. And Braxton Jones, we've said it, he graded out higher than any tackle who was drafted last year. And I know Olin Krutz has been working with him. He's a young, bright, smart young man who's talented. So it's really up to him to take another big jump here in his second year. And I like Nate Davis plugging in at right guard. Why? Because that's a nice veteran to really help out a young right tackle in Darnell Wright. You know, so to have that experience there, to work with a young player. And Cody White here, we know, he's just been stellar since he's been a Chicago Bear. He's been versatile. He's a good leader, played all the positions. And now with a young quarterback looking to grow again here in Justin Fields, I think it's nice to have Cody White here and his experience at the center spot.
Tom, you're a right guard. Nate Davis, a right guard. A lot of similarities here as he moves in. You had a little experience under your belt when you arrived at the Bears in 85 and helped out that drive to the Super Bowl championship. What do you see from Nate, and what do you suspect he'll bring to the table here as a veteran coming in free agency?
You know, I got to say, I was really impressed the first time I got to see Nate Davis, because this guy, he looks the part. He looks like you want an offensive lineman to look. Thick, big, and strong in the lower body, in a big, strong upper body. This is what I want out of Nate Davis, Jeff. And you and I have talked about it a little bit over the last couple weeks. Who's the alpha male in this locker room? I need Nate Davis, from the day he puts on his full pads and helmets in the beginning of training camp, he's got to be an alpha male. He's got to change the whole mentality of that offensive line. Tevin is still growing into that. Braxton Jones, everything we heard out of him in the podium throughout the early portions of his career, he's got that type of intelligence. Jimbo Covert walked in day one as an alpha male on this football team, and I think Darnell Wright can do the same thing. However, they need to have an example. And when Jim brought up Olin Krutz in the past, he was as alpha male as you could possibly get. But that's what Nate has to be. Day one, not month one.
He's not a big talker, though. He's not a vocal guy.
Don't
Is
care.
That okay?
You don't have to be a talker to be an alpha male. You just have to lead by example. You have to show these guys the work ethic that's expected of them, even though they're a younger guy, because it's on display from a veteran. So, look, if you want to have a long, successful career in the NFL, we need an alpha, and we need it now.
All right, I got questions for you then. Jim, who is the alpha that you were in a locker room with that Tom just described that doesn't need to be the big voice or the guy who's, you know, holding guys accountable verbally? They just go out there and play ball, and they have that professionalism that is attached to their athleticism. Who comes to mind?
Well, I played with a ton of guys. Dermonti Dawson was that way. He wasn't a big talker. He just went out and played, and he was the most athletic guy, and he dominated. He showed how dominant he was, and people knew not to mess with him. You know, Olin was obviously that way. And, you know, again, you can go out and show it, and players see it on the tape. They know who's dominating, and they know who's the badass out there and the alpha male that Tom's talking about. And I do like that thought that Nate Davis needs to do that. I think Darnell Wright definitely has that ability because, like we talked about, physically he's so gifted. He can push people around just because he's bigger than stronger than most. So I think he can be that guy as well just because he's that physically dominant. Now just go out and do it, and trust me, players – what gains players respect more than anything in the locker room is your toughness, because you need to be tough to play football. It's a tough man sport, and it's not for everybody. But if you show that toughness, trust me, everybody knows who they can count on and who's going to be there when things get tough.
You know, Urlacher was an alpha male, as alpha as you can get, and he was not a big talker. Mike Singletary, he was this top of the heap alpha male, and he wasn't one of these guys look at me type of conversationalist. So, you know, there's a lot of guys that we've all had examples to be around. Jeff, you as many as Jim and I. However, you get to probably know the alpha side of some of these guys more than the rest of us.
All right. Would you have considered both of you guys alphas?
I would. Yeah. I consider myself an alpha. I had to talk a lot, certainly being a quarterback, but I think players knew I was going to be there, you know, when times got tough.
Listen, man, we had a great example of an alpha male from Dick Sandfeld, our offensive line coach, and I think he inserted himself in every one of the guys that he ever coached, and I think that, you know, we all fell on the line according to plan, and we are proud to be considered an alpha male.
All right, another thing about this offensive line. I love that the five guys lined up, and basically that's your offensive line until further notice. And this time a year ago, we had no idea how it was going to play out. Is this a positive heading into training camp, Tom and Jim?
I think of course it is, because the more time that you can have names on the board that are going to line up first, that's when the competition starts, Jeff, because I was that type of guy that came in and my name wasn't in that first unit. So everything inside of me was designed, affect in the way you practice and everything to try to climb that ladder. So I look at the frontier guys. Yeah, it's nice to have their name on the list. However, there's about 15 guys that are behind them, Jeff, that are chomping at the bit to get, increase their opportunities.
Yeah, I mean, think of Alex Leatherwood. That's a former first-round pick. Whether he's a right tackle or whether he plays a right guard, he should be hungry. You know, a rookie who was drafted is ahead of him right now. And Alex, that should be burning in his gut that, you know, this kid's just been plugged in there and the expectation is that he's going to be the right tackle. If I'm Alex Leatherwood, I'd be pissed, quite frankly, because I haven't lived up to my billing as a draft pick, nor what I should be able to play at the level I should be able to play at as a pro. I do think having the names slated in is good for continuity. That's the direction the Bears coaches want it to go in. But like I said, and Tom said, other players better be hungry to try and remove those names because that's where they want to be.
Yeah, we talked the same way about Larry Borm, who was not a first-round pick but had shown great potential right out of the gate as a middle-round pick. Talking about Jatari Carter, a guy Tom was on last year, he got a lot of snaps in this offseason. All right, let's switch gears to the quarterback position because the incessant and unrelenting comparisons of Justin Fields in year two and Jalen Hurts in year two, the numbers were very similar, almost right to the number, and then the takeoff year in year three. Is too much being made of this? Because while they are similar quarterbacks, they're not the same guy. There's different aspects of their games. Jim, I'll start with you because you're the quarterback and Tom can follow suit.
Yeah, I mean, he should feel comfortable right now. It's his second year in this Luke Getsy offense. And you're right, year three to year four, this is where your career's got to be on the ascent. All right, this is where things should be coming together, and he should just explode onto the scene in every aspect of his game, whether it's running the ball, whether it's passing, check with me's at the line of scrimmage, defenses that he now understands and knows how to attack. And so, like I said, I threw out pretty modest goals for him last week. Throw for over 3,000 yards. Cut the turnovers in half. Cut the sacks in half. All those things should happen because it's coming together mentally for Justin Fields. He's got all the talent in the world. Now it's time to do it.
You know, to me, Justin just has to play better as a quarterback. He has to do the thing that Jim just said. You got to decrease your running yards. You have to increase your passing yards, decrease the amount of sacks you take. But this is not a one-man job. This is a supporting cast job. You look at what Philadelphia offered Jalen Hurts when he went there to be that quarterback that's getting better. Your whole team was getting better.
Well, they certainly did get better with Jalen. We expect the same with Justin. Another break ahead. This is Bears Weekly on ESPN Chicago and the Bears Radio Network. This segment of Bears Weekly is brought to you by CDW. People to get it. Jeff Joniak, along with former Bears, Tom Thayer and Jim Miller. Good to have you alongside as we begin the quiet part of the NFL season. It's probably the only month of the year. But wait, the league will come up with something. I mean, there's so much out there, so much conversation. It's endless. I want to talk about Darnell Mooney, Tom and Jim. Darnell Mooney working himself back. I saw him last week. We had a nice conversation. He felt that this journey that he has undergone, being injured for the first time in his life, he learned a lot. He learned a lot about himself. He's glad he went through the process. We'll dig into why later when we talk to him in depth, but he feels good. He feels ready to contribute. He had that ankle injury week 12, so cut his season short a year after being a 1,000-yard receiver. Tom, what are your expectations for Darnell Mooney post-injury?
You know, the most important thing about Darnell Mooney is he's got such a determined work ethic that he's going to be able to overcome injuries and become a better wide receiver within developing the relationship that Justin feels that they already have in place. I don't know what type of conversation we'd be having about Darnell Mooney if Chase Claypool was coming off of one of the best off seasons in the history of his young career. I know they're probably not two of the same guys at the same position. However, there is a need for Darnell Mooney. There is a need for him to continue to improve, and there's a need for him to have that continuous relationship with Justin that puts both of these guys' arrows pointed up.
Yeah, I do. I think he's got the speed. He's a two-way go player. I still think he's got to get physically stronger to fight off coverage, but his speed is second to none. He's a two-way go player. Then you put DJ Moore at the X, so that should open up some things in the middle of the field, because he'll garner at least DJ Moore well safety coverage, and that should give opportunities to Mooney. You know, it's to be injured and come off an injury, he should be a very hungry player. He knows what he wants to accomplish in the National Football League, and I think he'll be a complimentary piece to be able to do that. I always used to poke my head into the door of the receivers room, whether it was Bobby Engram or Robinson or Marty Booker, you name it, whoever was in that room. I said, whoever gets open gets the rock. So get open and you should get the ball, because that's what Justin Fields, that's his job to do that. So just get open, man. That's all Mooney's got to do.
Tom's laughing because I could just picture right now, because I don't know that I've seen Jim this fired up mid to late June here. He has brought his A game today, and you could see it on his face.
If you get open, you're going to get the ball, period, the end. So do your job. I'll do my job. Let's get it done, period.
You know, Jeff, one thing real quick is last week you said, hey, go back and look at that speech by Mike Tomlin that he was giving the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
But this is what I want to make a point of. Dick Stanfield, our offensive line coach, he always used to say, as long as your arrow is pointed up, you're going to get all the coaching you can possibly want and need and to make you a better football player. As soon as your arrow starts pointing down, we got to look to replace you. And it's the same type of speech that Mike Tomlin gave to this generation of players that Dick Stanfield gave to our generation of players. So no matter what name you bring up from injured to healthy, if their arrow is pointed up, they're going to increase their opportunity for success of the Bears and their own personal success. So whether it's Darnell recovering from an injury or another guy that's still trying to learn what his job is about.
And a guy's looking for, you know, a contract extension. He'd like to stay here, Darnell Mooney. And I just think this situation he's in with the added weapons and a third year for Justin in the same offense for the first time, this is going to benefit Darnell Mooney along with many other Bears. All right, couple of other topics here. I just saw this earlier today. I didn't realize this, but according to Pro Football Focus, Cole Kmet had the most run-blocking snaps of any tight end in 2022, and he had a good run-block rate, according to PFF, top seven in the league. Does that number shock you, Tom?
No, I think it's the biggest compliment you can play to a tight end or any exterior blocking personnel that you can put out there. But the tight end and their role and the importance of the running game, the movement of the tight end position, the variety of positions, front side, backside, H-back, fullback, I think Cole Kmet has done a great job of all of those. But I don't think any of us would sit here and deny the fact that inside the red zone, that's when we have to be talking about Cole Kmet the most this season.
Yeah, I think, you know, if he's top seven, as you mentioned, his goal should be the top five. You know, they're going to run the ball just like they did last year. So get more of the same. And he needs to continue to do that. But like the area that Tom's talking about, he needs to explode more in the passing game. He is a true all-around tight end. He's not just an inline guy. You can move him around and do some things with him, and he showed his athleticism. You know, how about that one-handed seam route catch that he made last year? It's within him to do it. And now with Justin in this passing offense growing, he's going to be even more incorporated into the passing offense and the red zone for more potential touchdown receptions. So maybe he, Cole Kmet, his name can be considered in some of the top tight ends that we always bring up, whether it's a George Kittle or all the other names that are out there, a Travis Kelce. He has that within him, and so more is expected.
All right, this is interesting to me. This is where expectations, the definition of expectations from the fan base and those who write and speak about NFL football. So, again, Pro Football Focus ranked all the linebacker units. And I know, Jim, you guys rank units on your show as well on SiriusXM. Second best in the entire NFL behind only the 49ers, the Chicago Bears. Tremaine Edmonds, a lot of attention. TJ Edwards on a Super Bowl team a year ago. Put up some good numbers. How do you see it?
Well, that's a good ranking, and I do think they have the athleticism there. There's some still pretty good cores out there. You know, I don't think you know, Roquan, the former Bear, you know, he just got $100 million for a reason. They got a pretty good group over there with Patrick Queen. Or how about the guys down in Tampa with Devin White and Levante David? So I want to see it to believe it. I think the Bears have the type of talent that they need at linebacker, but I want to see it to believe it in order to have that high of a ranking. So these guys haven't played together yet. Those other groups that I just mentioned have, and they played really well.
Tommy?
You know, it's all to me, I don't think you can rank a crew of linebackers unless you rank the defensive line in front of them. Because when you look at the defensive linemen, again, that Edmonds and TJ Edwards have played with the last couple of years, that's top-notch. You look at the defensive line in Baltimore. You look at the defensive line in Dallas. You look at the defensive line in San Francisco. You want to rate these linebacker positions and tell me how productive their defensive line is. That's what's going to tell you about how good the linebacker position can be.
Edwards, seventh in the league in tackles last year. Edmonds, the best coverage grade, and that size and length will certainly help the Bears defense out significantly. One more segment to go. This is Bears Weekly here on ESPN Chicago and the Bears Radio Network. Want VIP access to every Bears home game, exclusive seating, sideline credentials, and more now available. Get the ultimate VIP fan package this season by visiting ChicagoBearsVIP.com. Jeff Joniak, Tom Thayer, Jim Miller from SiriusXM, NFL Radio's Moving the Chains. We wrap up tonight's show. This is the whip around. A lot of different topics. I'm going to start with one that's kind of strange. What moment in your careers did you know it was time to retire?
Well, for me, it was kind of, you know, a lot, I think all players would like to go out on their own terms. But for me, that wasn't the case. Once I blew out my hip for the Giants, the doctor basically told me, hey, man, it's finality for you. So it was decided for me, and then you have to come to grips with it. And once it was decided for me, you know, I've got to live with it and be able to move on. So that's how it happened for me. And, you know, I've been able to do that and move on from it. Wasn't able to come to an end on my own terms, which is unfortunate, but you know, that's the way life is.
You know, at the end of my career, I had a two-year contract with the Miami Dolphins. So at the end of my first year with the Miami Dolphins, I was sitting on kickoff return at overtime against the New England Patriots. And as I was sitting there with my hands on my knees, watching the ball fly over my head, I said to myself, I don't want to be here anymore. I turned, I went and made my block, walked out of the bus after the game, and I was sitting with Coach Shula. And he says, hey, I would like you to come in and compete next year for the starting right guard spot. And I said, Coach, I think I'm going to retire. So, you know, you better be prepared for that. He goes, I never listened to a veteran the first week after the season's over. Take your time, figure it out, come to mini camp. And I knew I was done, but, you know, and that's the way it was. I mean, I was on the field and I convinced myself.
Well, you opened the door because you said, Coach, I think, which means you're beat and you're done.
Right. Right.
That's it. But, you know, the not so comical part of it, you know, you guys obviously have had long careers now in broadcasting. You found a niche to still stay in the sport. Jim working at Michigan State as a color analyst for years, and then having such a great career at SiriusXM, NFL Radio. Were you scared to retire to determine what was next, Tom, Jim? Because, you know, I had a conversation with Jason McKee the other day about that topic because, you know, you think, okay, but now what? Like, you're home and you're waking up at later in the day and you're like, okay, what am I going to do with the rest of my life? You guys are retiring in your 30s. Did you ever feel scared, Tom, about what was next? What were you going to do with your time? And Jim, follow suit.
Yeah, I mean, I live life scared. I never know what's coming around the corner. And then when I retired when I was 33 years old. And when you go out and you fill out a job application, they say, well, what have you been doing for the last 30 years? Playing football. You know, there's not a lot of people out there looking for ex-players. But I think if you get yourself mentally, you stay physically prepared, then opportunities are going to present themselves. And I was super fortunate of that. And I loved the football when I played it, and I loved it after I got done playing it. So that really benefited me a lot.
Yeah, for me, I knew I was still always going to be involved in football. To me, it's the greatest sport on the planet. I wanted to be connected with it, whether it's coaching or through the NFL at the league offices or doing what I'm doing right now. And I really got intrigued with the media side of it, because you can break down football to listeners out there to really inform them and just make them more informed football fans. So I'm a lifer. Hopefully I can do this for many more years because I enjoy it so much, but I'll always be involved in some capacity.
I love football more than anything, I swear. I am addicted to it. And so I was coming home from Des Moines, Iowa, where my mom celebrated her 85th birthday over the weekend. And I was coming home and I had one of the Super Bowls on, the early one, Super Bowl III, I think it was, just on through my YouTube, through my car. I wasn't watching the game, Tom, don't worry. I was keeping my eyes on the road. But, you know, you forget about some things because, and a lot of fans may not remember some of these things, but back in the day, before the headsets and before coaches had a certain amount of time to give the play call to the quarterback in his headset, or the defensive calls were coming in for the D, you had messengers. And it struck me because it was Dallas. It was Mike Ditka for Tom Landry running the plays in. The tight ends were the messengers. Who were your messengers, Jim and Tom? And a guy coming off the sideline, coming into the huddle and giving you the play. Did that not happen in your NFL career?
That never happened in my NFL career.
Okay.
So we would either signal, and then, of course, they came up with the headsets. But that would really take you back to, for me, high school, where they have a messenger, which is typically, for us, it was the running back position because we alternated running backs where they'd come in, they'd tell me the play, and I'd call the play. We'd go up there and run the play. So for me, that goes back to high school. And then in college, it was always signaled. So we had a messenger that way until they came up with the headsets, which really was probably my second year in the NFL is when they came up with the headsets.
Tom, I need stories.
I mean, on every one of our, you know, every interchangeable guy, whether it be Emory Moorhead, Tim Reitman at tight end, Dennis Gentry, Dennis McKinnon, Kenny Mardrum, Willie Gault at the wide receiver position. Every once in a while, you get Calvin Thomas coming in for Matt Sui and vice versa. You know, so any interchangeable body outside of offensive linemen with the Bears, they were eligible to be a messenger. And so according to the down and distance, according to the formation we were going to use, or the personnel grouping, that's how really they got handpicked from the sideline. That's why if you ever see an offensive coordinator from our era, Ed Hughes or Greg Landry, you see about five or six guys that are walking everywhere with him and staying in just within a, you know, a quieted tempo of how he wanted to call the play.
Did the plays sometimes get a little screwed up when they got to, did they forget it?
In our era, they did. You know, that's why I think that the quarterbacks had to know the information so well that if a player came in and gave them the formation and the strength, then they could think, they could probably say the play to themselves after they started it. So, you know, in my era, I remember when Jim Harbaugh went from the messenger to the headset. And I think the headset and the helmet probably helped them the most.
All right, 2 minute time. So we got to do a whip around here. Ready? Here we go. Sports Illustrated writer Gilberto Manzano did a first round redraft of 2022. Braxton Jones would go number 19, Jaquan Brisker 25.
Hey, those are good grades, and those players have played well. So, again, we'll see how they grow. I like what Brisker can do physically, and I like Braxton Jones. I think he's physically more talented than what people know, and he's a smart player, what you need to have success in the NFL.
Tom, I think Brisker may be the way he walked around the practice field during this offseason, he's ready to go. I think he's going to have a huge year.
Yeah, you know, those redrafts are a bunch of baloney anyways. I just think that you see great football players, whether you're drafted in the fifth round or the second round or you're a free agent like some of the guys that we've come across in our career.
All right, Tom, there's a football player, four-star quarterback Austin Simmons. He's skipping his final 2 years of high school. Major great GPA. He was homeschooled. He's joining Ole Miss's football program this summer at 17. That's according to Barstool Sports. Do you agree with this idea?
I do not. You know, you look at guys like Marinovich that were raised, you know, by their father to be a football player, it guarantees you nothing. So I would rather see him grow up and mature a little bit more.
Jim, where will Danielle Hunter wind up and Dalvin Cook?
I think Dalvin's going to end up with the Miami Dolphins is where I think he wants to be and where he'll strike a deal. Danielle Hunter, who knows? He could even be a Bear.
Oh, boy, we end the show on exclamation point right there. That's going to do it for us. For Jim Miller and Tom Thayer, thanks Nate Davis and our producers. That's all the time we have. This is Bears Weekly on the new radio home of the Bears, AM 1000 ESPN Chicago. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears Weekly, hosted by the mayor of Bearsville, Jeff Joniak, and Surfmaster Tom Thayer. Podcasts are available on the Chicago Bears official app. Brought to you by Verizon and Apple Podcasts. Bears Weekly has been brought to you by Bet Rivers and Miller Lite.